So that's a very creative title, isn't it? Things Learned in Ministry.
Yes.
About ministry, that's right. Thanks, Dave. Paul asked me to share about things I've learned. Yeah, Paul asked me to share about things that I've learned. And that's huge. So I wanted to narrow it down to specifically about things I've learned about ministry. As we serve God, what are some personal lessons that they've been important to me? They may not be important to you, but it's kind of like testimony in a way. Ways that God has spoken to me at times in small ways, but have been very important in my development. So we use the expression in Christians. Oh, we finish at 12? Yep. So we use the expression in Christian circles, we say, somebody is in the ministry. That's a phrase, and it means that somebody has a paid job where they do Christian work. So pastors are said to be in the ministry, or missionaries are in the ministry. This church has an awful lot of ministry going on. There are so many things that God is doing in hope and through hope, but no one's paid, and yet everyone is in the ministry. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everyone is in the ministry. And there's such a variety of that. And this passage from Paul, that reflects that. Yep. There are different kinds of gifts. There are different kinds of service. There are different kinds of workings. There's just such a variety of things that God is doing through everybody. So a couple of weeks ago, Paul spoke on the nature of God. Paul spoke about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if we're talking about ministry, then it's really talking more about the work of the Holy Spirit. But of course, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three are involved in that. But we do need to narrow it down a little bit to be true to Scripture and speak more about the Holy Spirit. So I think that will come through a bit in the things I share today and tomorrow. So the Holy Spirit, as it says there, the Holy Spirit gives different kinds of gifts to people. And there's a whole lot of those, ranging from very kind of natural things like the gift of encouragement. We might just say, oh, that person's so encouraging. But maybe they have a gift in that, and that's why they're encouraging. And there's a whole lot there going through to what are sometimes called power gifts. Things like healing people or miracles and things like that. So there's a whole range of gifts. God has given abilities to each one of us. We need to know that. It's not just other people who have them. No, I have them too. You have them too. And they are there to build up the body of Christ, to help us keep growing, to be faithful to God, and to finish the race with a vibrant faith. They're also there to help other people come to know Jesus, others to come into the kingdom of God. So I'll share some things from my journey. Marg and I met in our 20s. We were young once. And we met at the WEC Missionary Training College in Launceston. We got married. We worked with a little church for 3 years after that in the pastoral work. Now, I would be doing things like this, of course. I would preach. So we had a morning service and an evening service. That was really hard to do if you're expected to speak two services on a Sunday. I tried ways to minimize that and get other people in to speak. But I would find often when I was speaking, like I am now in front of the church, my muscles would all start tightening up. And I would think, oh, what's going on? And I'd look at people and I'd say, that guy's going to sleep. And then I'd think, oh, that person's looking out of the window. I think, I need to speak more passionately. I'm losing people. That's going on in my mind while I'm speaking. And then after the evening service, particularly if I was teaching at that as well, when I got home, I just felt like a huge burden had rolled away from me, at least for a week. Yeah. So that story, that experience, it raises some important questions for us. Why did my body become tense? What was I trying to do? I was involved in ministry, but what is ministry? What is it? Paul wrote these words about ministry. Such a key verse. We cannot do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Whatever we do by ourselves will finish when probably our life's over, and certainly when Jesus comes back and sets up a new heaven and a new earth, it'll all be finished, whatever we've done by ourselves. He says, our only power and success comes from God. That's a critical thing for people who serve God, which is all of us in some capacity. So he's talking about how the kingdom of God works here. Now, Jesus also often talked about how the kingdom of God works. And this is a key one. So there's a man scattering seed on the ground. So he's doing some work. He's active. He's busy. But there's another thing going on while he's busy, night and day, whether he sleeps or get up. This seed, it starts to sprout and grow. This crop is developing all by itself. And he doesn't know how. And so this is what we see often throughout the scriptures. God is at work in ways we cannot see or understand. He's the one who brings the growth that he wants in people, in the church, setting people free from things, helping them discover new things, giving revelation, healing people. The things that are happening as the church and individuals grow, only God can do them. So that's a key thing for me to learn. Ministry is something God does. Okay, but there's another part to this. Those last two words are really important. With you. Ministry is something God does with you. He doesn't usually do it by himself, although he can. And these days in Muslim parts of the world, it's very common to hear of Muslims having dreams and visions without any contact with Christians. God does work by himself where there are no other Christians around, but he wants Christians to be there because that's his default way of working through his people. So when I was a young pastor and my muscles would tense up, what was going on? Why did I become anxious? It's because I was carrying a burden that I was not meant to carry. I felt
I need to make this work. I need to see some results. I need to make an impact here. I need to do it. That was my mistake. Only God can make the impact that he wants, that is lasting, that is of his kingdom. And if we realize that, then it leads to an ability to just say, well, I can't do it, so I'm not going to try. I'm just not going to try to do it. I'm not going to try to reach that ceiling because I can't. I'm just not going to bother. And in a sense, we have that kind of approach as we serve God. I'm not going to try to make this person understand the gospel. I'm going to show them the scriptures. I'm going to share my story. That's my bit. But I'm not going to try and somehow make them understand. And I can't do that. So I'm going to rest in what I can do. I'm going to do that and I'm going to leave the results to God. Where's Philip? Oh, Philip, could you come out here? No, you're Philip. You think your name is Sean, but you're actually Philip. So, this is Philip. How are you?
I'm good.
All right, let's see something about what you did. So, Philip, now Philip was called Philip the Evangelist. He was one of the seven people who were, he was described as full of the Spirit and wisdom. He was one of the deacons that started distributing the food in Acts chapter 6. And Philip also baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was just a godly man and really powerful in the Lord. So here's Philip. He went down to a city in Samaria and he proclaimed the gospel there. And where's Peter and John? Oh, yeah, you're sitting there. Could you, Peter and John, could you come out? Yeah. Yeah. So here's Peter and John. All right, so now Philip, just amazing things were happening in Samaria. In fact, we read that Philip performed miraculous signs in Samaria. Philip cast evil spirits out of people. There were paralyzed people that Philip healed. And he was preaching about Jesus. What an amazing thing that was going. People were just crowding around him in awe because of what God was doing. So then Peter and John come. All right, do you want to just step over there so people can read the screen? We're going to read why they came. You can read, so I won't read it out. Oh, but for the sake of the recording, maybe. So, when the apostles heard in Jerusalem that such great things were happening in Samaria, they sent Peter and John there. And when they arrived, Peter and John prayed for these new believers that Philip had led to the Lord, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So, Philip, do you want to come a bit closer? You can all come a bit closer now. Okay. So, Philip, when all of that great stuff was happening, how did you feel? Like,
I was in awe of the power of God.
Wow, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's so amazing that you were doing those things. So you were in awe of the power of God. And then things were going so well, and then Peter and John showed up. How did you feel about that?
Oh, I love these guys.
You do? You love them?
Yeah.
That's good.
Like a massive burden had been released.
Okay, all right. So Peter and John, let's start with Peter. You're Peter. Peter, why? Yeah, Simon Peter, that's good. So you came down here. How did you feel coming down, like, to what Philip was doing down here?
You got a script there?
I don't. No, I don't have a script. But what I'm trying to do here is illustrate that this wonderful ministry was going on through a very godly, able man. And then two other men show up. Sorry?
Two heavies
showed up. See, Philip might have thought, hey, this is going all right. Why do you need to come down and interfere? This is my ministry. What are you doing here? You're checking on me. You know? Let's just stay with that for a moment. What kinds of thoughts might Philip have had? What do you think?
Stay off my turf.
What's that?
Stay off my turf.
Stay off my turf. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I want to get the credit for this and all the reports are going.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You're stealing my thunder. I'm the one doing it. It would have become known that Philip was doing this, and now Peter and John are going to be included in those credits. Yeah?
I want to be in charge.
I want to be in charge. Okay, yeah. All right, well, thank you, Simon and Peter and John. You can sit down now. So, Philip, that's right. All right, so when I read that once, I was just really aware of the dynamics there, because that's a ministry situation, and each one of us is in or may well be in ministry situations where we are working with other people, and some of those feelings and attitudes we mentioned can become part of that, those dynamics. There can certainly be jealousy. There can be a competitive spirit. Yeah, this is my turf. There can be a controlling spirit. There can be pride. All kinds of things. So, Peter and John, you've got to do a bit of overtime now. Just, do you, this might be putting you on the spot, but do you have a thought of why God sent you down there to see what was going on? You might not, and I don't want to put you on the spot. I've had time to think about it. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if they knew that.
Okay, that's right. So God sent there to bring the Holy Spirit. Now, Philip might be thinking, God, why couldn't you have given the Holy Spirit through me? I'm here. I did all this. Why did they have to come? All right, so with all of the things I'm saying here, the point I'm trying to make is that the ministry belongs to God. It's His ministry. And if we can really grasp that, then we are not having these kinds of attitudes that are common in Christian circles. They are common in Christian circles. We don't need them. We shouldn't have them if we understand that ministry belongs to God. Now, the background to this, which is important to know, is that until Philip went down to Samaria, all of the Christians at that time in the world, which that little part, they were Jews. They were all Jews. And they thought that Christianity was a part of Judaism. It was a Jewish thing. And Jews did not allow Gentiles to become part of their life, their religion. Gentiles had no part with God. That's what they believed. Sorry? A Gentile is somebody who is not a Jew. That's all. We're all Gentiles, unless someone here is a Jew. So God needed to do something really big, because the Jews would not be able to accept people who are not Jews into the church. But now this is the kingdom of God. God is growing here. How is He going to get Gentiles into this? And it's by sending the respected leaders of the Jerusalem church down to Samaria. And they are the ones through whom the Holy Spirit comes. And then people say, wow, it was our leaders that were there. They laid hands on these Gentiles and they became Christians. Wow, this must be from God. God was doing what was necessary for his ministry to grow in the way he wanted it to. And so that's why, as we serve God, we just need to be open-handed. That's the thing that's been important for me. Open-handed with ministry. Does God want to bring somebody in? Well, you don't just accept anybody. You've got a right to know about them and to kind of have a screening and check whether you've got the same vision, whether you're compatible. We should be responsible and do those things. But that's with the spirit of acceptance and knowing that this ministry belongs to God, not me. And if God wants to take somebody away to something else that he's doing, well, that's up to him. And in China, I had to practice that as different people were leaving the branch that Marg and I were the leaders of. And I'm thinking, boy, we must not be good leaders. These people are leaving to go and join a different ministry. Important for me to come back and see that bigger picture. Oh, no, that is not the way to think. God moves people where he wants them to be. So that was an important lesson for me. So here we were, Marg and I, with this little church. We wanted the church to grow. I think it had about 30 people in it when we came. And most of them were older. And boy, we needed young people. And there was a young guy who came. He started coming. And he had such a heart for God. I thought, wow, this is great. Well, if he could stay, and he's a man, that's good too. Not that we don't want women, but women just respond to God more easily than men. So we wanted that man to stay. And the thing that I learned through this guy was it happened this way. We all know how it is to forget people's names, don't we? Every time Marg and I come back from China, we have to, oh, who's that? Marg, who are these people walking up to us? You know, yeah, so it's a bit awkward. So I was talking to this young guy in the church and I said, oh, I heard about this way that, you know, when you're in that situation, when you can't remember somebody's name, it's something you can do. And I said, if you say, what's your name? And if she says, Mary, then you say, oh, no, I know your first name. What's your surname? Or if they say their surname, you say, oh, no, I know your surname. What's your first name again? So I was saying this. Now, how do you feel when I say that? Ah, all right. Now, that's a bit stronger than what this guy said. But, you know, I was sharing this with him, just trying to be friendly and, you know, you try and build relationships with people. So you joke a bit and you're lighthearted. There's a proverb that says, where words are many, sin is not absent. Where words are many, sin is not absent. We've got to be careful when we're just chatting and talking about all kinds of things and not paying attention to what we're saying. And anyway, so I said this to that guy, and he looked very disappointed when I said all this. And he said, yes, but that's not honest. That's not honest. Oh, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be modeling Christian behavior. I really want this guy to stay in our church. But he's disappointed because he's looking for a place that honors God. And he's looking for a place that he can grow, and then he doesn't come back to our church. That was an important lesson for me. Very small incident, but the issue is very big. And here is the issue. This is what Paul wrote about how he behaved in his relations with people. They conducted themselves with integrity and godly sincerity in their dealings with people. They did not rely on worldly wisdom. Now, that little thing I just shared, the little thing I said to him, oh, you know, when you can't remember somebody's name, that's worldly wisdom. That's something that is not out of the kingdom of God. It's out of the world. People will use that in the world. But that's not how the kingdom of God works. And when we do that, we're building something, but it's not of God. And in that case, I didn't build anything. I lost somebody. So what I'm saying here, I'll just say a little bit more. I'm not saying that we can't learn from the world. But when we say the world, we need to be careful. The biblical meaning of the world, John says, do not love the world or anything in the world, for everything in the world comes not from the Father, but from the world. He talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride. They are the things of the world. It's the system. It's the anti or ungodly system that I mean when I say worldly. Because we can learn a lot of things from the wider community. Christians, churches, we should be trying to learn what we can from the business world, from educational institutions, from other aspects of wider society that are doing things better than we do them. Christian churches and organizations need to learn from the practices of businesses and corporations that have good systems for their finances and things like that. We shouldn't be sloppy in those areas. In training that I organize for missionary teams, we borrow from the social sciences. We use models and activities that help people understand more about different personalities and different cultures. That is borrowed from the world, if you like. It's very helpful because Christians are human beings. We are basically the same as everybody else, and so we can learn a lot from what other people are learning and putting together about people and how we operate in groups. Okay. Now, the last thing I want to share this morning is a totally different area that I needed to know something about if God was going to lead us to China, where he did. There was another young guy who was coming to our church, and he'd been a Christian for at least a few years, but he just was stuck. He'd tried to read his Bible. He'd try to just walk with the Lord, but he was stuck. He was he couldn't look at you. If you spoke to him, he'd look down. I met with him quite a bit. We would study the Bible. We did the things that you would normally do to help somebody who is struggling in their Christian life. Bible studies, counseling. He was coming to church. We were worshiping. He was hearing the word. He was having fellowship. All of the things that we normally do did not help him. And I didn't know what to do. Because there was an area of ministry that I had nothing to do with. But I needed to start having something to do with it. So I brought him to King's Home for healing. This is, 20 years ago or something. I brought him there, and Reg and Ath Chopping, who were there at the time, they were people that God had gifted in a particular area of Christian ministry that many of us are not gifted in, and often don't even touch on because it's not a part of our experience, and it doesn't have to be. But it's really important for a large part of the wider community when they become Christians, then this may be important for them. So I took him to King's Home And my friend was resistant because he'd been involved in a Pentecostal church before, so he'd heard about people with deliverance ministries. And he was saying to me as we drove down there, he said, I'm not going to kind of let them think that things are happening when they're not. I'm just not going to really cooperate. So while we were there, Reg and Ath spoke with him. We were sitting in a little circle, and they would ask him questions about his life. They wanted to understand, who is this man? Where is he from? What life experiences has he had? Well, Ath was taking notes as Reg asked the questions. And then after, I don't know, half an hour, they felt like they had a good understanding of the journey that my friend had been on. And then they discerned that some of his previous experiences in his life had opened him up to demonic influences. And depending on the experiences he had been involved in and the things he had done or been exposed to, they were pretty sure what kinds of evil spirits had been oppressing this Christian man. And so one by one, they would name a spirit of such and such. It might be spirit of lust, or it might be a spirit of something else. And they would name them, and they would command them in the name of Jesus to come out. Now, as I said, my friend decided he wasn't going to just be an easy target for them. But as they would say this, as they would take authority, he would start coughing. And he would cough violently until he almost vomited. And I was kind of just, what's going on here? I'd had nothing to do with this before, but I was in ministry and I was going to China and I needed to fill in some gaps. God needed to fill in some gaps in my life. So this went on for a while. Several evil spirits were cast out, and then there's an emptiness there. There's a kind of a vacuum that needs to be filled. So they got him to raise his hands and they prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There were other things in his life that shouldn't have been there. The Holy Spirit needed to take up some of those places. And then he laid on the floor for about a half an hour. Now, none of that would be important at all, except that he changed. He was different. He was able to live the Christian life that he could not live before. That was the ministry that he needed. I couldn't do it. I wasn't gifted in it. I didn't know about it. So I needed to know that the kingdom of darkness is very real. For those who open themselves to it, they don't know what they're getting themselves into. For those of us who may minister to people who are coming out of lives that they've exposed themselves to things that have given an open door to the evil one, we need to understand a bit about that. Know it exists. Maybe find someone who's got those gifts and that ministry from God so that we can have a more complete ministry as a church. All right, so the things I've shared this morning, ministry belongs to God, not us. We can't even do it. It's something he does, but he does it with us. The second thing I learned, we do not use worldly wisdom and worldly ways in the church and in our ministries. And lastly, the kingdom of darkness is very real, and God has equipped people to minister in those areas, and we need to know about that. Yeah. All right, so that's what I have to share this morning. Shall I pray, Paul? Yep. Okay. Father God, we do have a lot to learn. Your world is huge, and the different contexts that exist in the world are just, they're infinite. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to know you through our faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is an everlasting one. It's your kingdom. And Lord, as we serve you and follow you in your kingdom, please teach us the things we need to know. Please grow us and make us the useful sons and daughters that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay.
Sure. Microphone might be better. Thanks, Colin. That was great. And Colin will have some more to share tomorrow.